talking about the working culture here in the UAE. Lots of SMSs have come in. Interesting. Working with people from other cultures brings both massive challenges and massive rewards. And here in the UAE, it's absolutely, I think, what sets us apart from so many other places, cities in the world, is the fact that we have so many different nationalities working side by side in a department, in a company, in a place of work. One of the things that can come out of our working culture is language. How we communicate effectively? Are we understood? Do we embrace the people around us and the different cultures that are standing next to us? Someone's SMS'd in saying about language and saying, it's fun when people assume you don't speak their language. Just picture their faces when you are able to.
And this happens a lot, especially in elevators. I've seen it happening in the closed space when you don't look like you're from that culture. Perhaps maybe you come from, you know, a biracial background, parents from different backgrounds. And yes, suddenly the person turns around and says, I know you're talking about me, you know, or surprises the listeners. Very interesting. Yes. And we talked a little bit about how, in terms of etiquette, in terms of making those who are around us, joining us in a conversation or at dinner, at social gatherings, even at lunch breaks or specifically in meetings, it's very important to stick to one language that everyone's comfortable with to avoid miscommunication and misunderstanding. But if it does happen, it shouldn't be perceived necessarily as those individuals trying to be rude, because what they might be doing is just respecting their own cultural values of, if I am an Arabic speaker, then it's more respectful for me to speak Arabic with other Arabic speakers rather than a third or fourth language. So to understand that those differences are not necessarily deficiencies. Mm.
I think also what's highlighted there is assuming.
Yes.
And we make assumptions about
Tons.
Each other.
Yeah.
We do that all the time.
Yes. And they're necessary, Suzanne. You know, we have schemas, the cognitive mental folders, in order to put bits and pieces of information about how we understand the world around us. Assumptions are there to guide us. It just means don't become shackled by them. Don't become imprisoned by them. Test them. Mm. Check them out. You know, prove them first. If it's something that's really going to affect the quality of interaction with somebody else, good to have assumptions. They are helpful, but don't become prison to them. Mm.
And if you are working with people who have come from a different place to you, different nationalities, don't assume, don't judge everybody in one way, in one go, because of one experience. How much we make an effort to get to know our work colleagues. It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends, but really to make your working environment a happier, better, more productive environment is all about understanding your work colleagues and how to communicate with them, understand and prioritize and really get a sense of their skills as well.
Yes, yes. I had this conversation with a senior manager the other day who works with a telecommunication company, and he was very upset because when he had he was greeting one of his colleagues, an Emirati colleague, and when the two Emirati men greeted each other, they hugged, you know, very tightly. They asked about each other's family, and this individual was from the UK, and he said, I'm so fond of this colleague of mine, I can't tell you. I shook his hand really tightly. I was very excited to see him, but afterwards, our third friend who was there present called me and said, you know, our friend who was visiting was a little bit disappointed that you were cold with him. And he said, what do you mean by that? I was so happy to see Abdullah. I couldn't wait to catch up with him. But coming from my cultural background, I didn't feel it was correct to hug him or to ask about his family. I wasn't sure what the boundaries were. Mm. So I thought maybe some of my verbal communication as well as my nonverbal communication would express that enthusiasm, but it wasn't enough in that cultural dimension.
Mm. I must admit, it's not the first time I've heard the British describe as cold, you know, and that's, you know, with all different nationalities, we kind of perceived as a nation of being cold, and yet often for the Brits, they think, no, I'm not.
No, exactly.
that's as good as you get from me. That's about the best I can do.
I'm polite. You know, I respect your space. I respect your boundaries. Think about how the public transport in the UK, the tube is a fantastic stage for observational studies to look at the space these people have, the way they don't like to interact with others, very much their book or their magazine or the newspaper is what they predominantly interact with, and there isn't this sort of engagement with others in that space. No eye contact. And so, again, it's just different. Doesn't mean it's cold, doesn't mean it's hot or warm. It is the way that you've been socialized to understand what is polite.
Mm. And then it gets tiring, really, if one's constantly having to check and think and be, and was, did I offend someone? Yes. Or did they offend me? Did they mean it? Did they mean it the way I read it? And it is, there's a lot to take on board. It is complex. So here are some, you know, from a psychological point of view, there's been a lot of research on cross-cultural understanding within the workplace. So, Samuele, let's have a look at what we started earlier with regards to this citizen behaviour, organisational citizenship behaviour.
A great name, don't you think?
Yeah.
That it places a lot of responsibility on the individual to be almost a good citizen.
Yes.
Not only in the society they occupy, but also at their workplace. So it's a unique aspect of individual activity at work. It's quite new. This was something, a theoretical framework that was presented around the late 80s, but it didn't receive that much attention until about a decade ago. And it was Organ's work that was first present in literature that was discussing this. So what organizational citizenship behavior is, it represents individual behavior that is discretionary, not directly or explicitly recognized by the formal reward system or the organization, but in an aggregate promoting the efficient and effective functioning of the organization. So it's all those abstract nuances of human behavior, the things that you won't find in policies and procedures, the kinds of rules and regulations or codes of conduct that we don't get in a training seminar. It is something that is much more abstract, much more silent. And it's been broken down to different dimensions like altruism, civic virtue, courtesy, and looking at conscientiousness. So if I can start with conscientiousness, that is a pattern of going, it's well beyond going minimally what is required. So if you're a conscientious employee, what is required from you is attendance, punctuality, hygiene issues, conserving resources, and so on. But this goes beyond, above and beyond that. How emotionally intelligent are you? How conscientious are you of the way you behave, the things you say or do, and the way others take on what you're saying, how they react to it? Do they get offended? Do they not get offended? Are you careful about the kinds of words that you use? Are you sarcastic? Are you not? You know, sarcasm in the workplace can be very cutting and it can hurt people, because if they don't come from a culture in which sarcasm is practiced, or there's a lot of power difference between different subordinates or employees or associates, as they're called now, you know, we don't refer to them, or partners. I was in London recently, and in Waitrose supermarket in London, they don't refer to people working in the organization as employees anymore. They call them partners. Think about how much that influences one's perception of their involvement within that,
and value,
right? So these are the kinds of things that organizational citizenship behavior would look at, the nuances that we don't generally incorporate or consider. We might even talk about civic virtue. So constructive involvement in the political process of the organization, including not just expressing your opinion, but reading one's mail, attending meetings, and keeping abreast with larger issues involving your thoughts, your ideas, creativity. Are you just working to the point in which you need to satisfy your job description, or are you civically involved in the virtues of that organization? Being creative, coming up with new ideas, sharing those ideas. It must be said, Suzanne, as well, it's a dialectic relationship. So someone might be incredibly involved and wanting to be creative and innovative, but after having shared their idea a few times with the particular organizational system or the hierarchy, and if that hasn't been received well or positively reinforced, it might dampen the spirit of someone wanting to be that way. And so they may not be as enthusiastic in the long run. So even though the citizenship is about the employee, it also has to be looked at to what extent the organization embraces this and creates this platform for people to practice positive citizenship behavior.
Mm. When we come back, we're going to be looking at the context of culture, how it's broken down and how you can have a better understanding. We were mentioned earlier about assumptions, the assumptions we make in the workplace or indeed socially. And Ali SMS'd in saying, excuse me, I'm a Somali and every Arab thinks I speak Arabic. The irony is Somalia is part of Arab Union, but we don't speak Arabic. You see, we make assumptions about each other. We're perhaps not really fully understanding people's different nationalities, where they've come from and their culture.